some of these things you had to, you had to see it in action to understand it. For example, one thing that I learned, one thing that was extremely helpful and was an example of the openness of the department, was of the zoology department, was that when I first came there in 71, they had decided that that the faculty discussions when somebody was considered for tenure were going to be open to all the faculty, including the non-tenured faculty.
Mm-hmm.
So as a result, I was able to sit in on the discussions for the whether two or three of the men ahead of me would become tenured. And from sitting in on those discussions, I got an idea about how the tenure considerations worked. Excuse me a minute. About how the, you know, what sorts of questions were debated in deciding whether to recommend tenure for an assistant professor.
Mm-hmm.
And what I saw was that one faculty member would take responsibility for shepherding the case through the faculty. You know, that person would carefully examine the record of the candidate and presumably have talked with them and have some idea about their strengths and weaknesses. And then that professor, of course, the candidate was not in the room, but
mm-hmm.
That professor would present that person's case to the rest of the faculty and kind of act as his lawyer, you know, acting on his behalf
mm-hmm.
and kind of defending him, or at least, you know, trying to explain the weaknesses and give a lot of attention to the strengths.
Yeah.
Now, when I came up for tenure, nobody was willing to take that position.
Hmm.
And part of the problem, and you know, having heard about this in the situations of other people too, I think part of the problem was that there was something sociologically embarrassing about taking up the cause of a woman.
Okay.
And so a problem was created in the structure of the way the tenure system was to work. And what was problematic about it was that there was no rule in the university that said one person shall act as the defender or lawyer or representative of the candidate. This is something that had developed informally.
Mm-hmm.
So that when nobody wanted to do it for a woman, nobody realized that this would, they weren't even so conscious that that's what usually happens, or
yeah.
that if it didn't happen for a woman, that this would create a problem in itself.
Yeah.
You know, so that's an example of one of the things which by the end of the 70s was, you know, a paradigmatic situation that universities realized they had to step in and deal with.
Okay.
And there were many things like that. Including, for instance, the tendency to give women a whole lot of teaching to do and then ask why they weren't doing so much research.
Okay.
There were many things like that that were sort of, you know, not exactly planned,
okay.
but they ended up in biased decisions.